You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
How's it going, everybody? This is Catfish on Ice. Welcome in. It's your host, Chad Minton, with co-host Rich Howe. We're on the struggle bus. We're on the struggle bus, man.
Well, I think in episode 207, we super jinxed this team because we were just singing their praises.
Wait a minute. Time out. We're literally not even a minute into this podcast, and I'm calling timeout on my esteemed and very good friend and co-host, Rich Howe. We did not jinx this team. We were very cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
What was episode 207? We talked about it was the Flames game, wasn't it?
Oh, we talked about how good Ryan O'Reilly was doing and Philip Forsberg, and they are doing good. They're doing good.
Yeah, we weren't wrong there.
We talked about Saros a little bit. I don't know.
We're going to call this the Crapper episode, and we're going to say Crapper because we're a family-friendly podcast.
In the Crapper.
We're in the Crapper. Head coach Andrew Burnett called it in the mud, which I really appreciate that analogy because I use it all the time. Not even when it's related to hockey. I say that all the time. I love that analogy just for life in general. You're stuck in the mud. You're in the mud. That's what he said about this team right now. So we have to unpack all this. We have to figure out how are the Predators going to dig themselves out of the mud. We're 15 games in. So I don't know. Do the math real quick, Rich. Percentage wise, we're not even a quarter away through the season.
No, not even a quarter.
We're getting close, but I went back and looked real quick. So at this point last year, when everyone's favorite head coach, John Hines, was still running this team, team was 6-8-1, 6-8-1, 13 points. So not much better, but a tad bit better than this current Predators team.
Yep. Yeah. And if you look at it, maybe less talent last year. I think there's more talent
last year. Well,
maybe, I don't know. You know,
that's hard to answer because we see Matt Duchene playing with a chip on his shoulder for Dallas and just going to haunt everybody till the end of days.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, man. It's the will is there and the work's there. It's just they're just stuck in the mud, like you said, in the crap.
I mean, I think that was a good analogy. I do.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
So the opening faceoff tonight is going to be all about, for me, UC Saros, because in the past, whenever the Predators showed a lot of the issues we're seeing right now, UC Saros was there to neutralize all that. He was there to erase it all, put the Band-Aid over the wound, so to speak. And all we would focus on after the game was the Predators got to win.
Yeah.
The Predators won. So we're not going to focus on all the bad things that happened throughout that game, all the defensive lapses, all the breakdowns, all the taking the second period off, if you will. We won't focus on any of that because UC Saros rallied to make 30 to 40 saves. He stopped 1, 2, 3, 4 one-on-one breakaway chances, and the Predators still won. That was kind of the overall theme of the John Hines era was Soros bails him out again. He went, guess what? And we're going to talk about this. We're going to have this whole opening face-off segment coming up here is going to be UC Soros is not bailing out this team right now for a lot of reasons, but we're gonna unpack that more and more. But man, Rich, he's not doing it. He's not doing it right now.
He's not. And it's we've talked about it before. He usually gets off to a slow start in the season, but we're 15 games in, and I think it would be over by now. He should have caught up to where he needs to be, but we've only seen Lankinen twice. I don't know, man. Yeah, something's wrong. Something's not right. That's for sure.
So that's going to be our opening face-off segment. Take us deep into episode 208 here tonight, brought to you by DraftKings and Raycon and part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Also going to touch on the devastating news on the injury front here. We're already dealing with Ryan McDonagh, who has been lingering. He's been skating, but he's not been back. This is the thing about hockey injuries, and it's so, so annoying because the other sports don't do this. But when a hockey injury happens, you never know the timetable of when that player is going to be back. I mean, Ryan McDonagh has been out for, what, 4 or 5 games now?
Oh, yeah.
By my count, it's at least 4 games. Mm-hmm. And he's had setbacks. There's not a lot of news out there. He was skating with the team for a little bit before practice or before games, but he didn't get to go this last game against Anaheim. And I'm telling you right now, this team is desperately missing Ryan McDonagh.
Oh, yeah. They are definitely missing him.
I want to touch on that real quick, Rich. I mean,
oh, yeah. I mean, it's evident that they're missing him. You're just missing that net front protection. They're just missing all sorts of things, but missing a leader like him, that's huge. I don't know. We don't even know what's wrong with him. It must be something pretty not good because he keeps having setbacks. So we need him back.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And when you're going into the season, you look at the Predators' defensive alignment and you're seeing – although I never really liked it to begin with, but you're seeing Luke Shen, you're seeing Ryan McDonagh, you're seeing Tyson Barrie, and you're seeing Roman Josi, and you're seeing 4 proven veterans in your defensive alignment. And then you were trying to figure out where is Alexander Carrier going to go? Where is Dante Fabro going to go and such? And nothing has gone according to script.
Yeah, and Fabro is like a bright spot, which that's a lot of people wouldn't expect people to say that, but Luke Shen hurt in the first game, first game I think, first or second game.
Yeah, first game, yeah.
And out the whole time. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if we'll ever understand that one. I mean, you can't plan for an injury, but I mean, Luke Shen is going down the drum roll, please. Luca Spezza highway.
One game. One game.
Didn't Luca Spezza play one game for the Preds? I'm pretty sure he did. I looked up.
The one he played in, I'm fairly certain, was he got hurt in the first.
So we will have to wait and see if Luke Shen. Wait a minute. That is very close to Luca. Luke and Luca.
Luca Shen.
Way too close.
Luke Spezishin.
The universe is playing tricks on us right now, man. All right. Anyway, cool. We'll see if we ever see Luke Shen back in a Preds uniform. But be that as it may, we got to get Ryan McDonagh back very, very quick. We are missing him bad. The penalty kill is an absolute atrocity. I know that the Ducks went 0-for-3 on the power play, but don't let the box score fool you every time. If you actually watch the game, the Ducks were actually their own worst enemies on their power plays against the Preds. They were missing passes. There were moments where they had open shots and the puck skipped on their stick.
Yeah.
The Preds' penalty kill is a mess right now. It's a disaster. I'm not going to go off one game where the other team didn't score a power play goal to change my mind on that. So that's not necessarily on Saros, but Saros is also not making the critical elite saves that we've expected him to make. So we're going to get into that. But let's talk about Tommy Novak. That's kind of where I'm getting at here.
Bad.
4 to 6 weeks is the prognosis.
Yeah. He's your third in points on the team. Who's going to step up in that role?
I don't know. I mean,
I didn't even see what happened to him. So I don't
we
even
really
know.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Nikki jumps in here and says, hey, y'all.
Y'all.
What's up, Nikki? Nikki is got some good things going for her, though, because she's a big Stars fan, and that team keeps cooking.
She likes Duchesne. Yep.
Predemption jumps in here and says, I can't remember the last time I made it here before the show started.
Well, it is a little early. He was in here
early. And now he's in here live in the house. There he is. What's up, Johnny? We normally don't record this early. No, so if you're watching on YouTube right now, we are normally we're the late night show.
Yep.
But tonight we're going early. We're going in prime time.
Well, good opportunity to join everybody tonight earlier.
See some new people. So yeah, we're going to talk about the Tommy Novak injury more in depth and what that means for the lineup. We're going to look around the NHL and see some other things that are going on right now and really talk about the upcoming homestand and the teams they're up against and really send a question out to our listeners, but also answer it ourselves. Is this homestand that's remaining, is that really the make or break point of where this season goes? So that's where we'll go with that. We also got Justin in here. Justin Gambino on YouTube says hello. Hey, so we got some people in here. So with that said, we're also going to do Explain Yourself is back, that everyone's favorite segment. Explain Yourself. Fun. I got to explain two tweets that I sent out yesterday.
And I have one.
I will explain those. And then one. Rich has got to look up some of his as well. So we'll save that later in the episode. Explain Yourself. We've done that before, a segment where we have to explain ourselves and our tweets on social media. Everyone should have to have accountability for the tweets they put out there.
Yep.
The world would be a better place.
You can't just hide behind them. You can't just sit around and hide behind them, man. Sometimes you gotta answer the bell.
Yes. Justin, to get us started here, Justin gets on here and says, yes, this is the season, but every game has been fun, to be honest.
It is fun. I think they're fun to watch. But man,
they are. It's not a boring style of hockey. I'll give you that.
Yeah, when things are clicking, it's really, really fun. But man, it goes south pretty quick. So
here's our opening face-off tonight. It is, you see it at the bottom of the screen. Is it time to really worry about UC Saros? This is not something we talk about hardly ever.
No. Usually in the beginning of the season for an episode or two, but it usually pans out, smooths itself out by then. So,
well, I can say that this is way worse, in my opinion, than just a bad start. And let me just start with this.
I agree.
Saros is got 13 starts now on the season.
Mm-hmm.
13 of the 15 games the Predators have played, Saros has been the starter. So we're already trending in the same heavy workload that he was under with John Hines in charge. We questioned that going into the season. Mm-hmm. Me and you both did on this podcast. We questioned how much different will Andrew Brunette treat Saros's workload compared to Hines. And so far, no difference.
Same. Absolutely the same. Absolutely. Now, why do you have Lankinen?
No one can answer exactly what is causing Saros's bad numbers right now. I think there's a lot of contributing factors. You can't just pinpoint one reason. But unless you're just completely biased in a Saros lover and you just never say anything bad about him, you have to be honest with yourself here. Saros is not seeing the puck well right now. He doesn't look comfortable. There's a lot of pucks he's letting get by him that he normally stops.
Mm-hmm.
And we can touch on other things as well. I don't think it's all on Saros. I'm not saying that. But he is not up to his normal self right now. And that is a fact.
Yeah, I don't think it's all on him. But I have found myself, you know, watching the games and going, ugh, that's probably a goal that he's going to want back. A lot more than I ever have in the past. There have been some that, you know, it's not his fault and he can't stop them, the deflections, whatever, some breakaway stuff going on. But there's been several that I've questioned, like normally he would stop the puck and has
well,
not.
Well, it's not even, and for me, it's not even the goals that he's letting get by him. Yeah, there's times where you can look at it and say, all right, yeah, that's mm-hmm. not his fault necessarily. But if we want to consider Saros as one of the elite goaltenders in this league, right now, just me personally, and people can chime in the comments and tell us how they feel about it. But me personally, my confidence in Saros making the high danger saves right now is the lowest I can remember it ever being for me. I'm not trying to be overdramatic here. That's just how I feel.
No, I agree with that.
I really, really like get nervous whenever Saros has to make the high danger saves right now. And flip that to the other side. In the last two games, the last two crushing losses against the Coyotes and the Ducks, where the Predators in both games surrendered two goal leads.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, in both of those games, I did not have a ton of confidence in Saros stepping up and making the really critical saves when he had to. Mm-mm. And you can't just – sometimes the defense is going to break down. That's hockey. It happens to every mm-hmm. team. There's going to be times where the other team breaks loose and you need your goaltender to step up and make a save.
Yep.
He's not doing that right now. He's mm-hmm. making some saves here and there. I'm not saying he's not – he's just a complete, like, awful abomination. No, he – I actually put it out there on social media when at the beginning of the Anaheim Ducks game, Saros was actually – he didn't face a lot of shots in this game, but he did make some really tough saves to keep the Ducks off the board early in the game. But – there's too many times where you're seeing pucks that Saros has to make the save.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you see it in the numbers right now. You see it in the numbers.
Yep. And if you're letting someone like Radko Gudas score on you, you have some serious issues that need to be addressed.
Well, and that goal right there, let's just talk about that. That goal right there was a team breakdown.
Yeah.
Saros could have made the save, but that started way down the ice. And that's something else I've been touching on here that's not on Saros. I don't want to make this whole segment out to be that I'm beating down on Saros and it's all on him. So let me flip it around here. You're seeing this in Andrew Brunette's flashy offensive push the pace style that does make it more entertaining for the fan. This team is susceptible to counterattacks.
Very much.
Especially when you're facing young run-and-gun teams like this team has faced the last two times. So both the Coyotes and the Ducks are very young, feisty, speedy teams that have young talent.
With chips on their shoulders because they had bad last seasons.
And what did you see the last two games? The Predators got too comfortable. They jumped out to early leads, and they got comfortable for whatever reason. They flipped the switch, and they said, we're in cruise control right now.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I can't answer that. Only Andrew Brunette can answer that. And I think that's what he is seeing here as well when he saw his press conference comments, and that's what he says. He says the team is in the mud. What do you make of that, Rich? the team is in the mud.
They are in the mud. It's like they can't get any traction to pull themselves out of the hole they're in. That's the definition of being stuck in the mud. But he said about the last game, he said, just when you thought nothing could get worse, you couldn't feel any worse because of last Saturday. And here we are in the same exact spot. Yeah, man, you see a lot of breakdowns, missed assignments, leaving people open. It's just something, you know, it's just not clicking right now. They play well together. They're doing, you know, they're fun to watch again, but man, when it goes bad, it just they're horrible for some reason.
Well, here's a big difference too between last night's game. Since we're this whole opening face off here of episode 208 of Catfish and Ice is focusing on UC Soros. Is it time to really worry about Soros? And so here's the thing. In the last two games, for sure, UC Soros has lost the head-to-head goaltending battle.
Yes.
He went up against Connor Ingram, a former Nashville Predator who all Preds fans love. It was weird hearing the "You Suck" chant.
Yeah. Connor Ingram. Weird. Yeah.
It wasn't as loud as it usually is, though.
Yeah. But it's like, has enough time passed? I don't think so.
But it's a chant, and they're always going to stick to it. But here's the thing. Sure. In both of those games, especially the shootout style track meet game against the Coyotes, both goalies got roasted and gave up some goals. Absolutely. But here's the difference. In both games, guess which goalie came out in the clutch situations and made the saves when they had to? It wasn't UC Soros. It was Connor Ingram, and it was John Gibson last night for the Ducks.
Yep. And John Gibson even took a puck right to the face too, and didn't phase.
Had to change goalie mask.
Yeah, man, that was rough. He was phased. It was crazy just seeing that. Forsberg, the big shot right to the face mask. But
Soros was hunting for that wrister all night, and he just could not beat John Gibson. Beat John Gibson.
No. Yep. It was watching the Coyotes game. It was good because, you know, there was a lot of scoring back and forth, but, you know, you give up those leads, man. And it's just like, once they give up a lead and they tie it, my hopes kind of sink. Cause I'm like, I don't have the confidence that they can pull themselves out of this, and they don't. I mean, and that's what's happened. You know, like the game against Anaheim, they were, they had a hard time getting possession of the puck so that they could pull Soros. And then by the time they did, there was like a minute left, maybe, I guess. And then, like at that point, like, you know, if you can't get anything going the whole game, you're definitely not going to get things together with a minute left. And that's what happened. They just couldn't.
Well, here's the thing about this. So we better get used to this. Cause here's the thing is it's a give and take with Andrew Brunette's system here. Mm-hmm. You have to have the elite playmakers on your team to make an Andrew Brunette system work. Yep. Your passing has to be literally near perfect, about as near perfect as you can get. Yep. No one's ever going to be perfect, but you have to be damn close
to perfect
as you can get. And when your passes are off, and we're seeing it, I've been watching it closely over the last three or four games. And what's happening is the Predators are trying to use a lot of really fine-tuned pinpoint passing right now. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. When it doesn't work, especially these speedy teams, which is the teams we faced the last two games against Arizona and against Anaheim, those teams are going to jump on you. And we're even seeing it on the power play. When the Predators are on the power play, we're seeing aggressive penalty kills where teams are willing on their penalty kill, a man down, they're willing to rush the puck back up, and Soros has to make another clutch save.
Yeah.
So it's not all on Soros. I'm not saying that.
No, it's not. I mean, that's tough for any goaltender, but it seems like the first few games of the season, the passing was like really good. Like, you could tell that they had worked on it, and it just seems like it's, like, devolved in the past you know, well, however long the losing streak is, four games or whatever. It's just the passing is not there like it was. It felt like it's gotten worse. So,
well, you'll see it. You'll see. I've seen it with Ryan O'Reilly. I've seen it with the veterans where they try to set up these really perfect passes, and it's all about timing. And the guy's not there. Their timing's off by maybe just a half a second. That's all it takes. That's how fast hockey is. All it takes is a half a second being off. And guess what? The puck's back up the ice, and you've got a two-on-one situation. And guess what? UC Saros has to make a save. And in the past, Saros would make those saves. But right now, Saros is not making those saves.
No.
So if you ask me, there's two things. And I'm not saying I'm smarter than an NHL head coach. I'm just giving you my opinion because that's what we do on this podcast.
And you can totally disagree.
You can totally disagree with me in the comments. I welcome them. But here's my thing. One, you got to get Kevin Lankinen in there.
Yep.
You re-signed him for a reason in the offseason. I don't know. I would have started him. I'm not saying he would have been the magical difference maker and the Predators would have beat the Ducks. I don't have no way of knowing that.
No.
I'm just telling you, hypothetically speaking, I would have started Kevin Lankinen. I said it before the game started. I would have started Kevin Lankinen. I think UC Saros needs at least two games off. Two games off. I'm being dead serious. Two games off. And that would have been a perfect opportunity to put Lankinen in. He starts against the Ducks at home. Then you play Chicago after that. And then you see what Lankinen does in those two games. Whether he plays good or not, you let him start. See if he gives you a spark. And then you put Saros back in eventually. But I just think that goalies are a lot like pitchers in baseball.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that Saros is seeing the puck well. I think he is rattled. And he needs a reset.
Yeah. And the whole thing also, it's like, how well can you expect Lankinen to perform when he doesn't get to start hardly ever? And I know like that's the role of the backup goaltender is you need to be ready to go, but like he's only played in two games. Like,
I mean,
I don't know. It's like, it seems like, you know, the longer he sits, you can't expect him to pull out miracles if he's not getting any any starts, I guess.
My confusion on the whole thing is the Predators are hiding Kevin Lankinen like he is a like he's not a proven NHL goaltender.
Yeah.
I would understand it if the Predator I would understand it if the Predators were in a situation where their backup goalie was unproven, untested, never played a game or played very minimal games. I would get it. I would say, okay, we can't play this guy very often because we don't know what we're going to get. We know what we're going to get out of Kevin Lankinen for the most part. I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying he's better than Saros. All I'm saying is we know he is probably, he's definitely top 10 backup goalies in the league. He might even be top five. He's that good.
Yeah.
Why does he have only two starts in the first 15 games?
Yeah.
Yeah, why did you go resign him?
Yeah, you could have just brought up Askarov.
If I was in the position to ask Barry Trotz questions, and I'm not, but if I was in the position, that'd be the first question I would ask Barry Trotz was, what was the thinking behind re-signing Kevin Lankinen? And then he only has two starts for the first 15 games. I would love to ask that question to Barry Trotz and get his answer. And he might give me an answer that makes sense. And then I'd walk away and be like, okay, that makes sense. But I would love to know.
And there probably is a reason, and we just don't know what it is. And it probably does make sense to them in their mind. But like, it's just not working. It's just not working. Did you see when they tied the game the other night? They showed Barry Trotz up in the box, and he was just like pacing back and forth. He was like, What is happening?
So I gotta give the ESPN Plus. It was being broadcast exclusively on ESPN Plus and on Hulu. It was one of those exclusive games. I gotta give, first of all, I love Kevin Weeks. He's one of my favorite.
Yeah, I do too.
I love his expertise. I love the way he breaks down plays. Yep. That's not to take anything away from our local broadcasters and all of that. But I love Kevin Weeks, but that was perfect timing by the ESPN Plus broadcast crew to pan up to Barry Trotz right after that goal.
Yep.
You got a really raw and inside look at the Barry Trotz.
The being frustration.
He felt just like we did. I was doing the same thing Barry Trotz was doing my living room.
Yep. Absolutely. I wonder if he did something like worse, like he threw a water bottle or something, and then they like moved the camera up to see to see what was going on.
Let's say hi to Lindsay. Lindsay says, this is just what I need after a hard day at work. Hi, friends. Hello, Lindsay. Thank you for joining us. So, yeah, continuing on here with this opening face-off, we're really talking about how worried should we be about UC Soros. I don't know what's going to happen from here on out. Will Kevin Lankinen get his third start of the year against Chicago? We'll have to wait and see.
They've got to let him play this game. I just don't see any way around it, personally. Just let him have it.
Here's the thing. If you let this spiral out of control too much, then it starts to look like, especially from the national perspective, then it will start looking like, oh, the Predators are abandoning Soros and they've turned to Lankinen.
Right.
And that's not what I'm trying to say, right?
No, absolutely not. No.
I'm trying to say it's a long season. More and more coaches in this league are starting to adopt the 1-2 punch approach. Just look at the Boston Bruins with Ullmark and Swayman.
Yep. Absolutely.
Look at another great team, the team who's the defending Stanley Cup champions. They go with Logan Thompson and Aiden Hill.
Yep. Both
why can't the Predators at least entertain giving Lankinen more starts?
Yep.
I don't get it.
It doesn't have to be like every other night. Or even every two nights and then a game, but just more. Give Soros a rest.
But let's say that Lankinen starts against Chicago. And I was already thinking about this if he would have gotten the start against Anaheim. But let's say that Lankinen finally does get his third start, and he plays against Chicago. He puts out a really great game. Preds get the win. Lankinen's a big reason why. Rich, I'm asking you this right now, and I'll give you my answer on the forefront. If Lankinen has a big game and the Predators win, thanks to him in large part, like he has a good game, he makes a lot of good saves, and the Predators win and they get back on that winning track, I'm starting Lankinen the next game. That's me. I am.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't see anything wrong with that. If you have a hot goaltender, man, you need to ride him as long as you can.
And you have to realize, too, that eventually, especially going into next season, Soros is going to become a trade opportunity, especially if you believe in Yaroslav Askarov, who is looking pretty good last time I checked in Milwaukee. Eventually, you're going to have to choose between one of those two goalies. Eventually, you are.
Yeah.
And then you have Lankinen in your back pocket, who could be a gem in the making as well. All you know,
you never know.
So you have three goalies that you have to sort out right now.
Yeah.
And you're really only using one of them because obviously you want Askarov to get more experience in Milwaukee, but you're going to have to sort this out eventually. Why not get Lankinen more starts while you can and see what he brings you? I don't understand why they're hiding him so much. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And the trade stuff's already started happening. There was talk of Edmonton. obviously is looking for a goaltender, and Saros still desperate. Brought up. Askarov's name's brought up.
Both Saros and Askarov.
Yep. Yep. So
now the news has it that the Oilers have nothing to really offer Nashville for Nashville to ever entertain it right now. And I agree with that. I think Nashville can be very patient with their approach on the trade market when it comes to their goalies. That is their ace right now.
It is their ace.
Their ace in the hole right now. The Predators and the front office and Barry Trotz, their ace in the hole right now is the fact that they've got some goalies that they can trade.
Yep.
And they
will get a haul.
Rest assured, they're going to trade one of these three goalies at the deadline. They're going to trade one of the three.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I am very, very confident in that. One of the three, Saros, Lankinen, Askarov, you're going to trade one of those three at the 2024 deadline. I'm very strong about that. Stamp it right now. We're like 4 months away from that.
Yeah, but you know,
once the deadline passes, if I'm wrong about that, I will gladly say I was wrong. I'm very, very confident one of those three are getting traded by Nashville front office.
And as we get closer to the trade deadline, depending on how they perform, you're going to roll up the roster chart to the bigger names, or it will be on the trading block, I would assume, so that you can get a big haul back. Like if they're playing horrible and it's trade deadline, you know they're going to be entertaining anybody asking about Saros. Anybody who has a big haul of prospects and picks and stuff, you guarantee they're going to be talking to whoever has that if they're looking to move Saros for sure.
Yep. So to wrap up this opening face-off segment of episode 28, thank you for everyone for joining us on live on YouTube, Facebook, and X. Hit subscribe, hit the follow button, hit the like button. We appreciate that a lot to watch these live episodes. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple, and all the podcast platforms, thank you so much for that as well. Leave a comment, leave us a rating. That helps out a ton as well. All right, real quick to wrap up this opening face-off here of episode 28, talking about Saros. Is it time to worry about the franchise goaltender? I mean, let's just talk about recency bias here. The Ducks game, the Ducks nightmare, if you will. John Gibson outplayed Saros. So if you look at the expected goals against, John Gibson faced more shots than Saros and finished with a 1.6 goal saved above expected. So he saved almost an extra two goals on the Predators, who were way more aggressive. Let's look at Saros. Saros was a negative 1.1 goal saved above expected. I trust this stat very, very, very. This is the biggest goalie stat that I trust over anything else, because it rates everything. It weighs everything surrounding the goaltender and the shots they face, the things they went up against. Saros led this category last season in the entire NHL. Guess where Saros is ranked right now? And it's actually scrolling on the bottom of the screen, or it was. Saros is 73rd among NHL goalies in goals saved above expected. At a minus 7.3.
That hurts. Oh, that hurts to hear.
There it is on the bottom of the screen. For our YouTube viewers, Facebook viewers, and X viewers. Here's another one. I found this one to be really troubling as well. So Saros' high danger save percentage is a 65%, which is 44th among goalies with at least five games played. So we filtered out the goalies who have not played a lot of games this year, like one or two games. We filtered those goalies out. So we filtered it down to at least five starts or five games played. That basically puts in everybody who is at least a backup in this league, a regular backup, and then the starters. Saros is 44th in high danger save percentage. So here's the deal. That's an even playing field for all goalies. So that stat pushes back on all the people, all the apologists who say, well, Soros, that's not his fault. He faced a bad shot. Okay, well, right. High danger save percentage is a big rating there. And you've got other goalies out there, including Thatcher Demko, including Jeremy Swayman for the Bruins. You got goalies out there who we thought Soros was in that same class, and maybe he'll rally and be in that same class, but right now he's not. You see some of the elite goalies in this league, their high danger save percentages are up in the 80s, up in the 80s. Soros is down at 65%.
Yep. Yeah. I mean,
that's all you need to know. That's all you need to see right there.
It is. That hurts to hear. So I don't even know.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. I love Soros. I'm not saying he can't rally, but these are the times we find ourselves in right now.
Yeah. I think, you know, he does have it in him to rally, and I think, you know, he'll get better. He can't get any worse. Well, he can get worse, but I think things will get better for him, but they need to start turning it around now because they are getting behind really bad, and it's going to be a deep hole to dig out of.
All right, we're about to move on here in episode 208. We got to talk about Tommy Novak and the injury and what the ripple effect is on the lineup. That is going to be a big one to overcome. We've already seen one game without him. The Predators only scored two goals. They struggled on the power play again. We're going to unpack that a little bit. We're going to also talk about this upcoming homestand, the upcoming games that are against some of the opponents up next. And also, is this really make or break these next games at home for the entire season? We're going to really speculate on that. We're going to look at some NHL scores. We're going to look around the Central Division a little bit. We're going to do explain yourself. I have to explain myself on two tweets that I sent out during the Ducks game, and Rich has got one he's got to explain as well.
Yep.
Before we get to that, let's tell you about one of our sponsors. That is Raycon Global, wireless earbuds, speakers, and other technology. And it is the holiday season, Rich. We're coming up on Thanksgiving quick. Thanksgiving is next week. And it's that time of year where everything is hectic. You've got travel plans. You're trying to scramble with all these things, trying to figure out what you're going to get the second cousin for Christmas. You don't know what that second cousin likes. So
cousins, nothing. Cousins don't get nothing. Cousins, nothing.
Whoa. You just a gift card?
Not even that.
Oh, okay.
You see your cousins enough to give them a present? Anyway.
All right.
Is your tree up yet?
My tree's not up, but I'm going to get one.
You need to do that. Our tree's up.
Get one of those mini Christmas trees. I wait. I've always been after Thanksgiving, you put the Christmas stuff up. But
I like to have it up early.
Nah, there's nothing wrong with that. All right, so either way.
Anyway.
It is chaotic during the holiday season. It may be too early to start decorating for the holidays, but it's never too early to start your holiday shopping. Why not take care of it now before the crowds and packed calendars make shopping a total nightmare, especially when you can get some of the best deals of the season well before Black Friday. You can shop Raycon products right now and save up to 50% off. That is a good deal. 50% off. I mean, how can you turn that down? Because their early Black Friday sale is going on now. You've heard me talk about Raycon's products before. I mean, everything we have talked about with Raycon on this podcast is about the comfortability, the convenience of it, the affordability of it, all the different functions that Raycon products have compared to the competitors that are way more pricey and just don't have as much to offer as Raycon products have. So Raycon first made a name for themselves in the audio space with products like their everyday earbuds, known for delivering high quality and thoughtful features like a 32-hour battery life and a perfect in-ear fit for all day wear and lasting comfort. And this past year, they expanded their entire business with the introduction of Raycon Home and Raycon PowerTech. Their 5-star reviewed Magic 180 cable allows you to charge iOS, micro USB, and Type-C devices 8 times faster with 100-watt power delivery. That's what Raycon does. They're always ahead of the game. They offer these accessories. Yep. They can make your products even better. They're always ahead of the game. Their faucet filter, ultra filters, the water in your tap against chlorine and heavy metals. I like that, man.
Wow, that's cool.
So Raycon has products to filter your water.
I didn't even know that.
So let's just forget about the wireless earbuds for a second.
Smart.
Raycon is even ahead of the game on water filters.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
It's a must have for ensuring the water you use to wash your face and brush your teeth, you know, is actually clean. Yeah. Kind of important. Raycon is known for delivering high quality and thoughtful features at half the price of other premium tech brands. It's no wonder their products have racked up tens of thousands of five-star reviews. To get everyone in the holiday shopping spirit a bit early, Raycon is currently offering 20% off everything on their site with select products up to 50% off. So beat the crowds and save now. Trust me, you do not want to miss out on Raycon's early Black Friday sale. Hurry now to buy raycon.com/THPN to get 20 to 50% off site-wide. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score up to 50% off Raycon products. Buyraycon.com/THPN. I might have to look into that water filtration system.
That's pretty cool. Because you probably drink salt water down there, right?
No, I live off bottled water and filtered water, man.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Are the police outside your house? I see a flashing light in the background, like a green and red light. What's going on?
Yeah, they're looking for me, man. They're looking for me.
Police getting ready to bust the door down or something?
Yeah. Hey, that'd be some podcast legendary moment.
Pirate podcast.
I don't think anybody's after me.
I don't know. I just see some lights flashing. Anyway,
I don't know, man. Yeah, I see it too in my background. I'm not sure what's going on. All right, we'll move along here.
Anyway,
we'll move along. I just noticed it. But yeah, I used to drink tap water all the time up until like 3 or 4 years ago. And then I realized how bad tap water is for you all around, like literally anywhere in the United States.
Well, actually, our tap water is actually pretty good up here. It's pretty good. But I mean, if there's a Raycon filter that'll make it even better. Hey, that's there you awesome. Go. Raycon.
All right, let's move along here in episode 208 of Catfish and Ice, brought to you by Raycon. We're also going to tell you about DraftKings and our current offer. But before we get to that, let's you see it on the bottom screen. Tommy Novak, the news came out before the puck dropped against Anaheim. It kind of came out of left field, man.
I didn't even see anywhere where he could have gotten hurt, but
oof. Well, that's how hockey works, man. They keep these injuries under wraps, man. They're not very transparent about it very often. It's frustrating for the fan because they don't know what's going on. But just gonna get caught up on some comments here. Imagine Lanky starts, Bedard clowns on him, Preds going to a 5-game losing streak. That's what Justin says. Hey, we can always live in what ifs, Justin.
That's right. Then people, he right under that, he said, then people would say, should have played Saros. Yes, they will.
Yeah.
They'll say, should have played Saros. You need to fire Brunette.
Yeah.
Fire Trotz. Clean them all.
So let's move along here. Novak out 4 to 6 weeks on injured reserve, comes out of nowhere. I mean, I think looking at last night's game against Anaheim, I truly think that the power play suffered without Novak. That's the biggest concern here when you're missing Novak, is he is one of their top power play weapons, along with O'Reilly and Forsberg.
Yep.
How do you replace that? That's hard. And they plugged in Kiefer Sherwood on the power play unit, which I was in agreement with. I was all on board with that. But Kiefer Sherwood is not Tommy Novak.
No. Tommy Novak's third on the team in goals and third on the team in points. And I don't see anybody who can plug that hole. It's not Kiefer Sherwood. As much as I like him, it's not going to be him, I don't think.
Well, I was completely shocked to see Philip Tomasino healthy scratched for this game.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Because he had just played a couple games in a row. He even scored a goal in the late. It was late. It was kind of in garbage time. But he did score a pretty good goal against Winnipeg, I think it was. These games start running together. But I think it was against Winnipeg. And he is just in the doghouse. He can't get his way out of it. But I thought for sure he would be plugged in with Novak's absence. I thought that was an opening for Novak to like really prove himself, but they didn't even give him the chance.
Yeah.
They didn't even put him in there. They went with a lineup that put McCarron on the fourth line as a center. They're sticking with Liam Foudy. I don't know if Liam Foudy has dirt on Andrew Brunette.
I think he does. They are all about the foodie.
Does Andrew Brunette have something in his past that Liam Foudy knows about? And Foudy is blackmailing Brunette and saying, hey, you have to start me.
You have to start me. And you need to get rid of Fagimo. I don't like him. It's another F name. Get rid of him.
I mean, how far are we from thinking about making some call-ups here? Or do you think that's too soon, Rich?
I mean, no, I don't think it's too soon. I don't know. It's everything's just a mess. It's hard to pick. It's hard to pick what you need to do. I mean, it's like I probably would have played Tomasino.
I would have played Tomasino.
Instead of McCarron.
The problem with that, so if you would have done that, you would have moved Sissons to center because Sissons played wing. Mm-hmm. Sissons played wing in this game.
Yeah.
So this is how you would have made room for Tomasino. You would have moved Sissons to center. You would have moved McCarron out. And then you would have put Tomasino on one of the wings because it's become very clear that Tomasino is never going to be an NHL center. He is a winger. Yep. Even though he was drafted as a center, nobody wants to talk about that either.
Mm-mm. No. Yeah, he's definitely not a center.
And I loved the tweet that Robbie Stanley put out there saying, like, apparently – I gotta go back and find it. Did you see it, Rich?
I did. I actually – yeah.
It basically – Robbie Stanley basically said, so I missed the part where Philip Tomasino is completely immune to ever getting criticism.
It's true.
And does anyone want to ever talk about the fact that Philip Tomasino was drafted originally as a center and has never worked out as a center?
Mm-mm.
He was moved to wing by the previous administration. And I'm not saying he didn't produce some good results. He did. And it's gotten to the point now, we're at this point now where, and our good buddy Max Greenberg, who writes for Predlines, put out a really good article about it. You got two options here. Trade the guy and let him flap his wings somewhere else, or play him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not really fair to keep scratching him because he needs to play, but I don't know. Every time he comes in to play, he looks lost to me at times, and I know, you know, it's got to be tough. You know, you play a game, then you sit two games, you play a game, and you only get to play for 9 minutes or whatever. And I know that's definitely hard, but like he just looks lost sometimes, and it's disappointing. And it's kind of sad, really, if you think about it.
Well, he can't get comfortable. I mean, he's not playing. Exactly. Even when he does play, he's not playing in a role that he's used to playing in.
Yep.
He's not playing in a role that he was drafted to be in by this point.
Right.
So,
yeah.
When Tommy Novak, I thought for sure Tomasino was going to be in this game.
Yeah.
When the Novak injury was announced. I could not believe it. That is truly damning for Tomasino and his future with this organization, the fact that they did not play him when Tommy Novak was not available. Yeah. That's writing on the wall right there.
Yeah.
And you got to think it's inevitable at this point that Tomasino is going to be traded. And he is waiver exempt, so you could send him down to Milwaukee. But what really does that get you?
Not much. Nothing. I mean, really. If you're wanting him to gel with people on the NHL roster, he needs to be up here playing. But if you don't ever play him.
I think if this organization was fully invested in Tomasino, he'd be playing every game.
Yep.
And he wouldn't only be playing every game, but he would be in the top six. And your Kiefer Sherwoods would not be taking a roster spot from him. And sure as hell, Michael McCarron would not be in the lineup over
or Foodie.
Tomasino. Or Foodie.
Yeah.
They don't even go out and get Foodie if
or
they believe in Tomasino.
Yeah. I agree with that. And Foodie would be the one to not play. He would have been the one to healthy scratch for sure to try to give Tomasino some playing time for sure.
Well, the way the lineups and aligned, you could have played Foodie and Tomasino. You could have taken McCarron out. You could have put Sissons at the center, and Tomasino has played more right wing. So you put Tomasino on the right wing, but then the problem you have is Tomasino's playing fourth line. He's getting 10 to 12 minutes, which is what he's gotten the last few games he's played. Is he really going to be able to prove himself in those minutes? And we go back to what Barry Trotz has said. It's all about what do you prove when you're on the ice?
Yep.
It shouldn't be about how many minutes you got. Fans of certain players love to always go back to that. And yep. I've gotten it in my mentions before when it comes to defending Tomasino. They say, well, what do you expect him to do when he's on the third or fourth line? Okay, well, that happens to every player eventually at some point, unless you're Connor Bedard, unless you're like some amazing talent that comes out of the draft. Mm-hmm. Most likely, you're going to have to prove yourself in the bottom six. That's where normal, ordinary NHL players set themselves apart, and they eventually work their way up. And I love the quote. Those great players force the coaches to play them in the top six. Yep. They force them with their play.
Yeah.
Tomasino hasn't done that.
No. Yeah. And if you only get 10 minutes a game, you make that the best 10 minutes every game. Do everything you can, even if you don't get a goal. Do all the little things that they want you to do, and just they'll notice that. They'll notice that if you do everything the right way.
Well, let's hope they would.
If you don't try to be fancy and, you know, whatever, to try to score a goal, you don't have to score a goal every time. I know you want to, but like, just make the most of your minutes.
Yeah. So going back to being with Novak being out right now.
That's ugly.
I think going into the next game, we'll circle back to it.
Oh yeah.
It didn't work this past game. I mean, the Predators scored two goals. John Gibson was really, really good. He did stop a lot of good. I think the Predators had 3.6 goals expected. So John Gibson was very, very good. The Predators probably could have scored 3 to 4 goals if not for Gibson being as good as he was. But either way, I'm curious to see if Brunette's going to tinker with this lineup even more and maybe move Sissons back to center, try to give Tomasino a chance here. I don't know. It's kind of a mess right now.
Well, here's a good example. So Parsonen got healthy scratched, and you saw him in the last game when he was playing.
He was awesome.
He was incredible. Did he score a goal? He did not score a goal. Did he handle the puck like a monster?
He did.
And that is what you have to do. That is what you have to
do. I love that example you just made, Rich. That is awesome. And that is a great comparison you just made there.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even think about that. But let's talk about that for a second. Parsonen, yes, he didn't get on the score sheet. He didn't score a goal. But if you watch that game, He drew two penalties. His skating was relentless.
Yeah.
To the point where he was literally ticking off the Ducks players. They were so mad. I think it was Alex Kilorn. Alex Kilorn took that one penalty on him because the dude could not get the puck away from Parson. And
he wound up holding him. Yep, there was a hold.
And at that point, you have to deliver on the power play, but that didn't happen. But kudos to Parson for making the most out of the opportunities he was getting. He was on the top line at first.
Yeah.
And some people would call that a demotion because now he's been in the bottom. He's been all over the place. Parson's been everywhere.
Yeah. And I think he said they were interviewing him, and he said he's like disappointed in himself for not producing as well as he expects himself to produce. So I think he, you know, went out there and had something to prove, and he did, in my opinion.
So Justin says, bring Kimmel up next year with Celebrini.
Jimmy Kimmel.
So let's talk about that for a second. Like, I just kind of touched on it real quick. With Novak being out, do you think there's this opportunity to call up somebody right now for the Fords? Do we think Joachim Kimmel could get called up soon? You know, we got this guy named Denis Garionov, who I was big on. I was completely wrong. I thought for sure he was a shoe-in. I thought he was a shoe-in to make the initial lineup coming out of training camp. And I was completely wrong on that.
Yep.
And he's the leading point scorer for the Admirals right now, last time I checked.
So maybe he'd be the one.
He could be.
Maybe.
If you're really not on board with Tomasino, then you might as well let someone else have a chance. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking. So I don't know. You got Afanasyev down there as well. You've got Kimmel. I think it's still early to put Kimmel in there. I know it would be fun and it would be exciting, but I want to be more patient about putting Joachim Kimmel in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
There's no reason to rush him in right now.
Yeah.
I could see Joachim Kimmel getting into the lineup later in the season if the Predators are still way out of it. They're still last place. And this really spirals out of control, then absolutely you put Joachim Kimmel in there and you see what you got and you see what he does for next year. Because you're really wanting to see what Joachim Kimmel can produce for you next year and beyond.
For sure.
But I think it's too soon right now, 15 games in, as exciting as it would be to call up Kimmel.
Bring up whoever's playing the best in Milwaukee.
I think you can call up Garionov right now.
Yeah, there you go. Let's do that. Let's go with that. See how that goes.
I mean, could you imagine if they send down Tomasino to Milwaukee and they call up Garionov? Oof.
Twitter and Facebook. Just
I think people are starting to come around on it, though. Finally.
It seems like it, because I know, like, you had a little spat with some folks a while back about Tomasino. And I think now, like, people, they do kind of realize, like, something's not quite gelling with him. So,
all right, we're about to unpack the upcoming homestand here and how much of a make or break this is for the year. Rich, if you want to pull up the upcoming opponents here, we'll break that down here. I think it's 7 of the next 8 games are at home still. You got one road game against the St. Louis Blues, and then you got another 5 in a row. So we're going to break down some of those opponents. Do we think it's a make or break part of the year? And talk about, if the Predators come out of this unsuccessful, let's say they lose a majority of these next upcoming games, does that pretty much mean this season's a waste or a wash or whatever? We'll talk about it. Yeah. All right, before we get to that, we're also going to do Explain Yourself. We still have Explain Yourself segment to do as well. Before that, let's tell you about DraftKings and our current offer. We have a current hockey offer for you folks.
Finally.
On DraftKings Sportsbook. Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. So right now we've got some current odds for Thursday hockey. So we're recording on a Wednesday evening. So we're going to, I'm going to share you three current matchups on DraftKings for Thursday night hockey. So if you're listening to this podcast the next day on a Thursday morning, here's our three matchups on DraftKings. And you can use our promo code THPN. We got the Detroit Red Wings at the Ottawa Senators. That's a tough matchup there, Eastern Conference. Yeah, right now, DraftKings has the Detroit Red Wings as the favorites. So you can bet on them. We got the Golden Knights at the Montreal Canadiens. No shock here, but the Golden Knights are favorites there. And you've got the Devils at the Pittsburgh Penguins. And ooh, the Devils are the favorites currently.
Are they?
So, with that said, let's tell you about our current offer. Download the app now and use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777. Or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023, all rights reserved.
That's new.
There you go. So
that's new. NHL.
That is new.
All rights reserved. All right.
How about we jump into explain yourself, Rich, before we look at the homestand?
Okay. You go first. We got one queued up here.
All right. We're going to put it on the screen here. I got to explain myself on this one. Probably. So here's my tweet. They call them tweets still, don't they, Rich?
What would you call them? X's?
X's? Yeah, I guess here's my X.
It's still horrible. When you refresh the screen, it still tweets like a bird. Yeah. So
we're going to call it a tweet. So I put this out before the Ducks game yesterday. So let's keep this in context here, everybody. I said, probably going to be an unpopular opinion among Preds fans, but I'd start Kevin Lankinen tonight versus the Ducks. See if he can give you a gem. He has only two starts this year, one being a really good one against Edmonton. Now, obviously, the Predators chose to go with Saros. I'm not saying Lankinen would have necessarily won that game for them, but gosh, we've already kind of talked about it, Rich, but I got to explain myself. My whole thought process was start Lankinen, see if he can put out one of those vintage, prototypical goalie gems. He's probably chomping at the bit to get a start right now. Agreed. Maybe he goes out there and wins you that game. Maybe he goes out and makes a couple critical saves like John Gibson did on the other side of the ice for the Ducks. And who knows? Maybe the Predators win that game thanks to some really clutch saves from Lankinen. And then to explain myself further on that tweet, if that were to happen, I would have been okay with Lankinen starting the next game against the Blackhawks. Now, obviously, that didn't happen, but that's how I'm explaining myself on that one.
But maybe it'll happen now.
Well, I mean, if you do it now.
You going to call it now? Lankinen starts against the Blackhawks?
The worse Saros plays, though, the worse it gets.
That's true.
Because then it looks more and more like you're benching him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think if you catch this sooner and you kind of like almost protect Saros a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? If you protect him a little bit and bench him at the right time, you're not benching him long term, but you're at least giving him a break and letting and seeing what you got in Lincoln. It doesn't look as bad. The longer this stretches on where Saros piles up bad start after bad start,
that's true.
Well, then you throw in Lincoln in. Well, then it just looks like you're benching Saros, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tangled web they weave for sure.
So the Predators have 3 days off here, and they play Chicago on Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're going to start Saros again. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, history would say yes.
History would suggest that they're going to start Saros again.
Yeah, I agree. But
it's 3 days off. It's a day game.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
They could start Lankanen. If they do start Lankanen, that would give Saros almost a week off before they play Colorado on Monday.
Yeah, that's what I was pulling up to see. That might be too long of a break if they're going to make – if they let Lankanen play against Chicago and then put Saros in for Colorado. Boy, that's tough. That's a tough decision.
It is a tough decision.
All right.
All right. So that's one of my explain yourselves. All right, Rich, how about you tell us about one you got, man?
Let me pull up the next one here. I think this is
while you're doing that. Yep. While you're doing that, I am going to share some of the responses I got on that post. Oh, yeah, there. I got a lot of really, really amazing responses from that post regarding wanting to start Lankanen. I got to go back a little bit here. But I always love when I hear from fans of the Predators, even if they disagree with my takes. Love hearing the responses because it lets me know that the fans are passionate and the fans still care, which is what you love to see. Let me get back here. So let me share that. JW Hood on Twitter X says on that post about starting Lankanen over Saros for the Ducks game, he says, yeah, Saros can be great, but he's got to fix these awful slow starts. Puts the Preds behind the eight ball early on and got to fight their way back. Nikki, our good friend Nikki, who's always participating in our live streams, says, completely agree, especially if Juice gets injured from too much play. He's got to be feeling it. Landry, our good friend Landry, just put out the classic Ben Stiller gif that says, do it. That's Brian funny. The Gamer on X says, I was actually about to post the same thought. LOL, Saros needs a rest. So actually, I got a lot of agreement here, almost across the board.
Well, it's a sound tweet. I mean, it makes sense. Absolutely.
We did get a little bit of disagreement here. Evil Future Considerations on X says, it doesn't matter. This is a 75-point team.
Ooh. That's a great name, by the way. Evil Future Considerations.
Raymond on X says, Preds goalies equal brick walls or can't stop a beach ball. They do have a expletive defense that leaves them hanging, though. So, yeah. A lot of responses there on that explain yourself tweet. So, let's get to Rich's.
We know what Rich's that time takes.
Rich, it's time to explain yourself.
All right. This piggybacks off of your Robbie Stanley put something we talked about earlier about criticizing Tomasino. So then you said, been roasted for the past 2 months. Anytime I say anything remotely critical. And then I, to try to bait people, put, unfortunately, every time I watch Tomasino, I'm usually disappointed because I am usually disappointed with the way he plays. Unfortunately, it's not something I like to watch or see.
At least for this season, for sure.
But sometimes it's fun to put things out there just to bait people to see if they'll take the bait, but nobody did. Yeah. Now, if it would have been maybe preseason, might have gotten some some pushback from folks. So
I think he would have. There's still time left for Tomasino to turn it around. That's why I would be playing him right now. That's why I say that you really have two options here. It's trade the guy and let him go elsewhere to prove himself, or and get a draft pick out of it at least.
Yep.
Or he has too much talent to just be sitting there as a healthy scratch. Yeah, we can all agree on that. We can all agree on that.
For sure. Absolutely.
So either play the guy or trade him. I think we're all on the same page there. Every fan in this fan base is pretty much on the same page there.
Yep. All right. Here is your last.
We got one more explain yourself to get to here.
We've already talked about this as well, but here it is. Oh, you went to, I think you went to, there it is.
All right. So here's my explain yourself here. This was also before the Ducks game. My tweet was more on Tommy Novak and how the Preds are going to have to replace him, the top power play unit. With Novak out, I'm moving Kiefer Sherwood onto top unit. He's proven he can score big time goals in clutch situations. So yes,
explain yourself. I am
going to explain myself. So even though Sherwood did not score in that game, I'm still, he's your best option right now.
I agree.
And he's not necessarily a prototypical top power play unit player, but you got to work with what you got right now.
Yep.
And who else are they going to really use in that spot with Novak gone? I mean, yeah. They don't really have anybody unless they call somebody up. They're pretty thin there. And we didn't really realize that until Novak went out.
Yeah.
I think they are thin. Sherwood's your best option. Sherwood only managed one shot on goal in the game against the Ducks. So that's a little bit underwhelming. He actually only had 8 minutes of ice time against the Ducks.
Oh, wow.
That's way down there. That's crazy.
Very low for him.
Cody Glass slotted in on the power play as well. That was his second game back. He got almost 17 minutes of ice time and two shots on goal. But yeah, the power play without Novak is really, really going to be tested.
Yeah. For a long time.
4 to 6 weeks is what we're looking at here, man.
That's
what you were hoping, that the bread and butter of this team was going to be the power play. Mm-hmm. And now you lose one of your top power play weapons.
Well, not only that, it's like Tommy Novak has played really well this season, and like he's amazing. A bright spot, you know, on the roster, and just to not have that.
And you can't expect
your power play and your normal play.
And even if the Predators do call up somebody new to maybe plug in there, you can't expect that person they call up to just immediately go into the power play and produce instant results.
No, especially if you get someone who probably wasn't going to be up in the top six anyway.
So this is going to be a long-term issue. And so my answer to this is, let's hope that Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg, maybe Cody Glass can step up and start producing in this role. Maybe Kiefer Sherwood can, obviously. But maybe this power play is going to have a hard time. And if this team's going to start winning games, I see two areas that immediately have to get better and drastically better. It's goaltending and it's the penalty kill /
power play.
Just overall defensive structure.
Yep. I agree.
Those are kind of go hand in hand right now.
Yeah, and they need to figure it out like yesterday. Figure it out.
All right.
Figure it out, boys.
This is the Stuck in the Mud episode for the Catfish and Ice podcast, episode 208. Andrew Burnett said it best. This team's in the mud.
And in the crapper.
He also said self-inflicted mud is what he told the Predators official website. Self-inflicted mud.
He's not wrong.
So we're kicking mud on each other, on ourselves. We're kicking mud on each other. It's not even someone else that's doing it.
They can't get out of their own way, for sure.
So let's wrap up this episode real quick. This has been episode 28 of Catfish and Ice with your hosts Chad Minton and Rich Howe. Listen on Spotify. Listen on all the podcast platforms. Download the episodes. Follow us along on all the social media platforms. And interact with us on social media. We love that. We love that so much when you interact with us. We got a new YouTube. Yeah. Carlos says, go Preds.
Do you know where his picture from?
You know, I love that positive. I love that. You know what? This entire episode has been so negative. It's been so doom and gloom. There's been nothing really positive we said in this whole podcast. I love that. Thank you, Carlos.
Do you know what his picture's from? You recognize that? That might be. That's probably before your time. That's
enlighten me.
Album cover from a Scorpions album. You know that band, the Scorpions.
Oh, I know Scorpions. That's one of their Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Yeah, that's one of their album covers. I don't know which album.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, Carlos, thank you. That is so simple and yet so effective. Go Preds. Thank you, Carlos. Hop in the podcast anytime, man. Thank you for jumping in there on YouTube.
Positivity.
All right, so let's really quick look ahead to this homestand. I had the schedule just popped up. So yeah, Chicago's up next. Chicago is kind of, they're right there with the Predators in terms of the bottom of the standings right now in the Central Division. The Predators are technically last place in the Central Division. You got to win this game, right, Rich?
You got to win it. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Connor Bedard aside. Let's put Connor Bedard aside here for a second.
You've had two very disappointing and frustrating games at home. It was supposed to be, you had a horrible stretch on the road. You come home to Bridgestone, you take care of business, but that has not happened. So I think this is definitely a must win just for morale. Well, morale sake.
And the morale cannot get any lower right now.
Yeah. But good win.
I will say, toot my own horn for a little bit here. My Arizona Coyotes wild card pick is looking spicy.
It is.
That was my preseason pick. I'm going to toot my own horn on that one.
You should. And that's
fun to watch.
And that's
They're not fun to watch when they're going up against the Predators, but that is a fun team.
Yeah, and that's something else that, you know, we haven't really talked about. Both Arizona and the Duck, Anaheim, have chips on their shoulders. They played horrible last season. You know, they were the butt end of all the jokes the whole season.
And they're up and coming teams.
And they are definitely both up and coming teams. They're playing really well. The Ducks set an NHL record 6 games in a row coming back from zero goal deficit or in the third period or something. But yeah, that they're the first team in history to do that 6 times in a row. So, I mean, that's telling you something. They're definitely up and coming.
A couple more comments here real quick as we wrap up episode 28. Nikki says, Liam Foodie was not worth taking James Neal's number, in my opinion.
The real poor deal. Foodie.
We got to come up. Have we not come up with a better nickname for Foodie? I mean, it writes itself.
I wonder what his nickname is. What do you think it is? Food?
Food? Just food. Breakfast food? Chow down. Oh, chow down.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. Chow down.
Put it down there right now. Liam Foodie, his new nickname is Chow Down. I don't know if the boys, Chris Mason and all the Bally Sports South crew watches this podcast, but if you're watching, just make sure you tag me. But that's Liam Foodie's new nickname. It's Chow Down.
Chow Down. There you go. Copywritten.
Predemption says on YouTube, don't even think about calling up Kimmel. Let that kid be in Milwaukee and let him cook. I could not agree more.
I think that's a good plan.
All right. So after Chicago, the Predators get Colorado at home. I'm still not sure what to think about Colorado.
That's the Ryan Johansson homecoming.
Oh gosh.
They're going to be showing. So
look at these next. Look at the storylines for the next two home games. You get Connor Bedard rolling in.
You, how many Blackhawks fans are going to be there in Bridgestone.
And then you get Ryan Johansson in his homecoming. Those are two really big storylines there for these next two home games. Then the Predators get Calgary at home. They go on a brief road stint to St. Louis. St. Louis is playing much better than preseason expectations right now. St. Yeah. Louis just went out and walloped Tampa 5-0.
I saw that. Oh, my gosh. Night. I couldn't figure out what happened
Rich,
there.
Rich, try not to have a twinkle in your eye when you say that.
I'm kind of laying off of Tampa. So,
all right.
I'm laying off of Tampa. They got rid of some guys I didn't like. So.
And then the Predators come back home for five more games at home.
How'd they pull
Winnipeg, that off? Winnipeg, Pittsburgh, Minnesota. Minnesota's in a bad way as well.
Yeah. But that'll still be a tough game.
And the Rangers.
Minnesota always plays them tough.
So and you look Rangers, at the next, you look at those games there. I think the way the Predators are playing right now, you hope to just come out above 500. And here's another thing real quick before we wrap this up. The Predators, they have no overtime losses. So they're not even getting points when they lose these games. That's what really hurts. It's one thing if you surrender a two-goal lead and the team pushes you to overtime, you have a hard-fought loss, but at least you scrounge for a point. Mm-hmm. The Predators are coming out of these games with goose eggs in the standings. It's killing them.
Yep. Even I was just looking at the schedule. Even if they were playing better than they are, these next games, they're not easy. They're not going to be easy games. All these teams play the Predators tough. So
when San Jose next on the schedule?
I don't know if they could even beat San Jose right now.
Oh, all right. We're going to end the episode there. Full stop. The episode's over. This has been episode 208 of Catfish and Ice. We appreciate you joining us. Better times ahead. Yep. We show up for the bad episodes. We show up for the positive episodes. We're here for you. The head coach said it best. This team's in the mud, but we're here for you. We're going to get out of it eventually. Until then. Have a great rest of your week. We'll try to get another episode up before Thanksgiving. Until then, we'll see you then. Enjoy time with your families during this holiday season. Stay warm. Take care, everybody. This has been Catfish on Ice, episode 208.
Have a good one.